We shall now turn to the passage which we read together, Genesis chapter 40, and we shall read again verse 23. Genesis 40, verse 23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Wonderful to see the purpose of God in the life of Joseph. God had a plan. From all eternity, he had a purpose that he was working out in Joseph's life. Things seemed to go wrong, but they didn't actually go wrong. God knew what he was doing. There were all these bad things, these negative things that happened, but at the end of the day, they all turned out for good. It seems to us at times that things have gone wrong in our lives. We wonder, why has this happened? Why has that happened? Why have things turned out this way? Is it bad luck? No, there is no such thing as luck, because God is in control. And if we are God's people, all things work together for good. And that's a tremendous verse. Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. If we love God, we are his people. If we are those whom God has called according to his eternal purpose, God's people, we are blessed. We have a great future. And whatever negative things happen, whatever difficulties there are before us, it's all going to turn out at the end of the day. One thing working hand in hand with another. God has a great plan for our lives, and that will be seen. God revealed to Joseph how he had a great plan for his life. He showed him these dreams. The dream where his sheaf stood up and his brother's sheaves bowed down to his sheaf. The dream where the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed to him. So in that sense, Joseph saw that God had a great plan for his life. There was a great future. Things would work out for good. And yet, we see all that happened. It took many years. 22 years passed. And many of these dark years, times of trouble and difficulty, before God's plan eventually began to reveal itself. At the end of the day, even the negative things, the slavery and the imprisonment, was part of God's plan to exalt Joseph and save his people. So let's relax. Relax in the knowledge that God knows what he's doing. That God cares for us. Trust God. And see how he works it out. So first of all, we have here today Joseph's humiliation. Joseph had the top position in his father's house. He was his father's favorite. And there was no doubting that, because his father made him a special coat, a coat of many colors. And that coat distinguished him from his brothers. He was the beloved of his father. He was the special one. But then, his brothers were jealous. They sold him as a slave. He came down into the land of Egypt. And there he was employed by Potiphar, as a slave. It was a low situation, difficult situation. A 17-year-old boy in a foreign land working as a slave. For a while things seemed to be working out rather well though. And his master noticed him and how diligent he was, how capable he was, and he started to get on well. And eventually his master set him in charge of the whole household and of all his business and all his property. But then things went wrong again. His master's wife accused him of sexual assault and he was cast into prison. How difficult. False accusation, false charges, and ending up in prison. Why, Lord? Why has this happened? But God knew. It was a humiliation for Joseph. From the top place in his father's house, to being an exile, to being a slave, to being a prisoner. And as Psalm 105 says, his feet in fetters and in irons hurt. But now, when we think of the life of Joseph, whatever passage of Scripture it is, we are led to think also of Jesus Christ. Because Christ is to be found in all the Scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation. The Scriptures are about Christ, God's Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus, the only Redeemer of God's elect. And so we see Jesus set before us too, because the Lord Jesus was typified by Joseph. Joseph was a foreshadowing of Christ. We think of the Lord Jesus as the special one. The favourite of his father. My beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Dwelling in heaven. And then he has to leave heaven for a foreign land. And he has to enter into a lowly state. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. The Lord Jesus, yes, foreshadowed, pictured as it were by Joseph. He comes into this world and he becomes a servant, a slave. The servant of Jehovah. He took upon himself the form of a servant, and the word that's used there in Philippians 2 is the word doulos, which means slave. In the form of God, all the glory of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, the form of a servant, a slave. Came from the Father's house into the Egypt of this world. Sold for 30 pieces of silver. Placed in prison in the house of Caiaphas. Cast into a dungeon there. His humiliation was far greater than Joseph's. Not just from a nice house in Canaan to the prison in Egypt, but from the paradise of heaven to the stable of Bethlehem. What a humiliation for Jesus. And not only that, but he went lower than Joseph. He humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross, the cursed death. And another contrast. Joseph unwillingly went to Egypt. Our Lord Jesus came willingly. Greater love, he said, hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. No man, he says, taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. So he willingly lays down his life for us. Joseph unwillingly, but Jesus loved us, humbled himself by coming into this world, died for us on the cross because he loved us. Joseph's humiliation, it pictures for us the far greater humiliation of our Lord Jesus Christ. How we should love Christ. How we should worship him who willingly humbled himself for us. Secondly, we have here Joseph's loving ministry. It's fascinating how Joseph prospered even in the prison, thrown into the prison for attempted rape. And yet, he's after a while set in charge of the prison. His diligence and his godliness are noticed and rewarded. But also, God's plan is involved in it all, isn't it? He had to be put in charge of the chief butler and the chief baker. That was part of God's plan. And that was the only way by which the future exaltation of Joseph could take place. And so God saw to it that the keeper of the prison appreciated Joseph, and that the captain of the guard in whose house the prison was, Potiphar, again appreciated Joseph. So he set over the other prisoners. And we're told that one day, the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. The word offended means they had sinned. They had done something wrong, some criminal activity. And because of that criminal activity, the chief butler and the chief baker were imprisoned. Joseph was in prison and he didn't deserve to be in prison. He was the one who hadn't sinned. But the chief butler and the chief baker are in prison and they deserve to be there. They had offended. Remember when Jesus was on the cross? There were two others beside him. And to begin with, they both criticized him, condemned him, blasphemed him. And then one of them turned to the other and says, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing we are in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, but this man hath done nothing amiss." You see the parallels again. Joseph and the butler and the baker. The butler and the baker, the criminals. And Joseph there in prison too. Jesus on the cross has done nothing amiss. But the thieves, one on either side of him, the sinners. Joseph is a type of Christ. And then we see his loving care. As he looks after the chief butler and the chief baker and the other prisoners in the prison, he notices their faces. Both of them have had a dream. A dream that troubles them. It's not just an ordinary dream, but there was something special about this dream. Something remarkable. Something upsetting. What did it mean? And it would seem that the two of them had spoken to one another and it must have given them great surprise that they had, both of them had a strange dream through the night. And that there were certain parallels in the two dreams. And yet contrasts as well. What does it mean? And there they were with their sad faces. and Joseph, the man of God, showing compassion. Why are you so sad today? What is troubling you? Does it not remind us of the Lord Jesus Christ? How he notices people's sorrows. The widow of Nain weeping as she follows the coffin of her son to the cemetery. Weep not, he says. And he goes up to the coffin and touches it. And the young man sits up. The compassion of Christ. At the grave of Lazarus, he wept. Behold how he loved him. Do we share in the compassion of Christ? Do we have a sensitive heart? Do we see people's concern and troubles and worries and fears? The sympathy of the Lord Jesus, our great high priest, touched with a fellow feeling for us in our infirmities, because he also was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. The Roman Catholics like to think of Mary as a great mediatrix, a great mediator between God and us. She's got a woman's heart, but no woman had a heart as big as the heart of Jesus Christ. Touched with a feeling for our infirmities. Oh, how sympathetic. Far more sympathetic even than Mary. We come directly to him. And that, in this we have encouragement to come, because we have a great high priest who understands, who cares, who loves. Thirdly, Joseph's word from God. Joseph's word from God. Joseph was a kind of prophet. God revealed things to him, and he spoke the word of God to people. He spoke to his brothers. He told them the law of God and told them how they were doing wrong when they were doing evil things. And then later on he revealed to them the dreams that he had received. And in that way he spoke to them of the future and told them of God's great plan for them as a family. The word of God. And when he went down into the land of Egypt, he continued to be a prophet and to speak God's word. And you and I are to be prophets for God, to be ambassadors, to tell men and women the word of God, to tell them the gospel, to tell them the way of salvation, to tell them about Christ the Savior. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Don't be ashamed of Christ. Stand on his side. So Joseph was a prophet there in Egypt. And he points us to the great prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is called the Word. Why is he called the Word? Because we cannot know God but as Christ reveals him to us. No man hath seen the Father, but the Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath revealed him. The Son of God is the great revealer of God. And he tells us the will of God and he gives us the gospel. Jesus is a great prophet, the greatest prophet. And all the other prophets prophesy because of the Spirit of Jesus revealing truth to them. So Joseph in this also typifies and foreshadows Christ. Now you notice in verse 8, They say, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, the dreams, I pray you. Joseph acknowledges that his ability to interpret dreams comes from God. He is a prophet. Tell me your dreams. So the butler tells him his dream. He saw a vine, and on the vine three branches, and on these three branches blossoms appear, and then the blossoms change into grapes, and the grapes ripen. And then he has Pharaoh's cup, and he takes Pharaoh's cup, and he squeezes the juice from the grapes into the cup. And then the grapes, the grape juice in the cup becomes wine. And he gives it to Pharaoh to drink. It's a kind of fast forwarding, as it were. In dreams, all sorts of strange things happen. And things that cannot happen normally can happen in dreams. And things can happen in a very short period of time. And so it was that he saw the vine, the three branches, the blossoms, the grapes, the juice, and Pharaoh with a cup. You can imagine Joseph praying to God, show me thy ways, O Lord. Help me to understand this dream. Give me light, give me understanding. From God, the interpretation of the dream came, and Joseph looks to God for that interpretation. And then he explains the dream. The three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head. 3 days was to be Pharaoh's birthday. And certain things would happen on his birthday. People would be pardoned on the birthday of a king. So the butler in 3 days' time would be taken into Pharaoh's presence, and he would be given back the cup, and he would be restored to his previous job as chief butler. So it was a great message, a very encouraging message for the chief butler. And hearing the good interpretation for the dream, the chief baker then thinks, oh, I'll tell my dream too, and maybe it'll have a good interpretation as well. And so he explained his dream. How he had 3 baskets, white baskets. And these baskets were on his head, as they used to in Eastern countries do, to carry things on their heads. So there were these 3 baskets, and in the top basket, all kinds of baked meats, all kinds of pastries and cakes and lovely things for Pharaoh. And the birds come, and they start eating these pastries and cakes. What does this dream mean? Again, the 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, will lift your head from off you, and he will hang you on a tree, and the birds of the air will come and eat your flesh, the birds of prey. A very solemn and sad interpretation for the dream. One to be restored, one to be executed. Remember our Lord Jesus, numbered with the transgressors. One thief restored, the other condemned. To one he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. For the other, there was no message of comfort or of hope. He was left in his sins to perish and to go down to hell. We've got to remember that there are these 2 destinations, a heaven and a hell. A wonderful future of blessing, loving the Lord Jesus and being loved by him. And an awful future of misery, of sadness and of sorrow and of death and damnation. And all mankind have these two destinations before them. Two roads. A narrow road that leads to heaven, and few there be that find it. And a broad road that leads to hell, and many are on it. But there's one difference. There's one difference between the message that Joseph gave to the baker and the butler and the message of the gospel. And it's this. For the baker, there was no message of hope. But for men and women today who are on the road to hell, there is. There's a message of hope. There's a message of salvation. There's no need to perish. Come unto me and be saved. Look to me. Repent, believe, trust. Turn from your wicked ways and you'll be saved. Two destinations. But why should we end up in the evil place when the Lord is calling us to come and be saved through Jesus Christ? The Joseph of the New Testament died to open the way to heaven for us. And he offers to us, yes, he warns us that there are some who will end up in hell and some who will come to heaven. But he says to every man and woman in the world, go ye into all the world and preach the glad tidings of great joy. The good news of the gospel, there's salvation. And it's free. And it's for you. Whosoever will, let him take. Jesus saves. Joseph's word from God. A word of encouragement and of promise and of hope to the butler, condemnation to the baker. Jesus' word. A word of salvation to everyone who will come to Christ. Finally, Joseph is forgotten. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. When Joseph announced to the chief butler that he would be restored to his office and Pharaoh's cup placed in his hand, he said, but think on me. Remember me when you are restored. Show kindness, I pray thee, unto me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and bring me out of this house. For he says, I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and here I have done nothing that they should put me in this dungeon. It's interesting how he says, I was stolen from the land of the Hebrews. He's covering up, isn't he, for his brothers. He doesn't say, my nasty brothers, they sold me to be a slave. But he covers up for them. What love he shows, what a picture he is for us of Christ and of the way we should be as Christians. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and I have done nothing wrong. I'm innocent of all charges, and yet here I am in this dungeon. In this prison in the land of Egypt. Remember me. Put in a good word for me to Pharaoh. How easy it is for us to say, when people say to us, oh, remember me, pray for me, how easy it is for us to say, yes, we will. And how often we forget. Are you like that? When people say to you, pray for me, and you say, oh yes, I will, and if you put up one prayer for them, that's all. It's not right. We should have a conscience about this. We mustn't be making promises and not keep them. Sometimes people say to us, Or pass on my good wishes to so and so. And we say, yes, I'll do that. And then we don't. How easy it is to be forgetful. But particularly, how easy it is for us to forget Joseph, the Joseph of the New Testament. Do this in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. How easy it is for us to forget what Christ did on the cross for us. How thankful we are that twice a year we have communion, and on these occasions we're forced to remember the Lord's death. But we should be remembering his death every Sabbath and every day, remembering that Jesus died. That should be a constant occupation of ours. How easy it is to forget it. We should be remembering him, praising him, worshipping him, trusting in him. He sent out his apostles. He sent them out to preach the gospel to all the world. And his gospel is basically this: remember me. And if only we would remember him. All around us we see people remembering themselves and remembering their own good works and trying to please God and to satisfy their conscience by doing good works. What we should be concerned about is to remember Christ, to put our trust in him. To remember what he did. I said before you, life and death. Choose life. Remember Christ and choose him and put your trust in him and you'll be saved. But out of Christ, forgetting Christ, you're lost. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come when your heart will be hardened.